Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The good news, Irritable and Spiritual with Lisa Phillips will make you laugh and get you moving into the fabulous life you truly deserve. The bad news, Lisa promises to burst your excuses as to why you're not taking action and give you a kick up the bum to get you moving. Join Spiritual and Irritable for fun, honest, and inspirational life coaching show where Lisa Phillips will inspire you to let go of old baggage, release negative beliefs, set fabulously sexy goals, and share with you hundreds of other amazing action steps which will assist you in feeling great about yourself and your life. Lisa will also share her own personal story of how, as a life coach, she doesn't always practice what she preaches. Warning, this show is guaranteed to make you feel good about yourself and leave you with a smile on your face. Now, here is your host, Lisa Phillips.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. And thank you so much for tuning in today to the Spiritual and Irritable Show. Well, today I'm really lucky to have a very, very exciting guest with us today. Her name is Frances Amaro. Now, Frances is a love coach, and she's worked with over thousands of clients over the past 21 years, although I must say she does not look that old looking at her picture here. Now, Frances has a passion for practicality, prevention, and she's always believed that it's so important to choose well at the beginning of a relationship, as this is a major component to the success, which I totally agree with. If only I'd sometimes listened to myself at the beginning of relationships before falling headlong into something that was a little bit of a disaster. So I'm really interested to hear what Frances has got to say about that today. Now, Frances incorporates the latest learnings from psychology, spirituality, tantra, quantum physics, and, of course, metaphysics. So welcome, Frances, to the Spiritual and Irritable Show today. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Lisa. I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day here.
Oh, fabulous. Well, I'm very excited to have you on the show today. But if you can just tell our listeners, Frances, how did you get into this work in the first place? Was it something that you always knew you wanted to do, or perhaps was it something that the universe conspired to get you into this role?
Well, yes, it wasn't actually. I've always been really fascinated with people, just in general. Always was, even as a child. You know, I used to write songs about people and the universe and everything, you know, from about the age of 9. But and I actually did go on, and I was a musician for about 10 years. But then I did have a bit of an interesting sort of metaphysical experience when I was in about 27 or something. And so I stopped being a musician and then decided to become a counsellor and a coach. And then over the years, I began to move more and more into realizing that my real passion was with relationships and sexuality. And also, I think, you know, there's a really base level around this, because you mentioned that my interest in quantum physics. Well, you know, when we really get down to the quantum level, like, everything is about relationships. So it's like right from that real base level, it's who we are.
Oh, I'm a big believer in that. And I know sometimes I work with myself and my clients looking at the mirror. And I do believe it's in relationships the most that perhaps that mirror inside of us can come out and show us perhaps what we need to own within ourselves and what we need to heal. I always find that pretty fascinating when I'm in a relationship, to really sort of look at those things that perhaps I need to work on myself. So, you know, I'm really fascinated to actually have a chat with you today. So can you just sort of, we're going to look at the topic in particular of the ins and outs of dating, and also, which I think is great, choosing a partner wisely. I know from my own experience, and my listeners all know of being in abusive relationships, that sometimes at the beginning there are so many red flags but either we choose to stick our head in the sand and ignore them, or perhaps as well we don't know what those red flags are because perhaps we've never been taught what they are in the first place. So over to you, Francis. Tell me a little bit more about sort of the ins and outs of dating and sort of choosing this partner wisely. What is some important things or questions to ask on a first date?
Yeah. Well, the first most important thing is to get really clear on what sort of relationship that you're requiring at this stage in your life, whatever that stage is. Yeah. It's been really clear, am I looking for a committed, you know, long-term relationship, you know, LTR, or am I just looking for some companionship or some dating? You know, what is it that I'm actually wanting and really owning that? Because that's a bit of a mistake that women make is they feel, and I'm sure that there's not just women listening onto this show, but women especially will make that mistake because they feel that they're not allowed to go, you know what, I just want a long-term relationship and I might want marriage. There's a little bit of embarrassment that people tend to have about that these days. Which I think is a bit sad because really that's one of the first questions that I think needs to be asked, you know, when you're first connecting with somebody, you know, on the internet or a first date or certainly the first couple of dates is like, what are you looking for? You know, what style of relationship are you actually wanting? Because I had couples who they might have been together for like 6 and 7 years and even bought a house together. And one or other of them hasn't actually decided to really be in a relationship and really do what it takes. And basically, they're pulled it still out the door. And that is just obviously a recipe for upset. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sort of 41 now, and I get to the point, you know, when I was younger, I would be quite happy to say, hey, you know, I'm looking for this serious relationship. But it's interesting, as I get older, it's almost like, you know, I don't know whether sometimes I've written myself off or I believe that maybe society's written me off in some way. And, you know, I think I'm speaking for a few of my friends here, they're in a similar age bracket, that we just sort of give up a little bit. You know, is that quite a common phenomenon?
Yes, I think it is. I think there's a real fear for women, you know, past 35 or something to, like, we don't want to be seen to be desperate. You know, sort of there's this whole thing about, you know, desperate cougars who are just out there on the prowl, you know, there's all these weird sort of ideas about that. And so we don't want to be seen to be desperate, so therefore we're too scared to just put it out there and go, well, this is what I want, you know. So I get that all the time.
That's very true. I would often probably make out that I was less interested than more interested. And I think particularly when you come 40, you know, I think it's quite possible that I know I think, oh, my gosh, you know, do people think I'm just going out there because I'm at the last legs of having children and I just want to meet somebody and, you know, and get laid and have a child. Mm. So you do tend to keep it a little bit more quiet and reserved.
Exactly. And what that does, of course, is it gives a confusing message to the guy. Because you know, he might be ready for a relationship and then the woman is doing the sort of I'm pretty cool, I don't really need anybody vibe, and then nothing happens.
Yes.
I believe it's
totally. I just go home with my ice cream.
Yes.
Definitely, because it becomes safer. So just going back to this important question. I mean, how do you broach that? I mean, you can imagine it's a first date and, you know, for men or women, you know, how do you actually broach that question to somebody when you're just getting to know them and it's a first date, Francis?
Yeah. Well, for people who do internet dating, right, because I think a lot of dates happen for people these days, you know, through internet dating, would you say so?
Definitely.
That's what I've noticed a lot with. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, that actually on some level makes it a little easier because that means that either in your first couple of emails to the person, you need to actually just state it straight up front, just ask, or certainly in the first phone call, because the other thing is you need to have a phone call before you have a date with somebody. I would never, ever recommend somebody meet up without having a phone call first. And in that phone call or emails, you just pop it out there. You say, hey, look, I know this might seem a little bit full on or whatever, but I'm just a bit curious, what sort of relationship are you actually looking for at the moment? And then you have to shut your mouth and listen.
Believe that if they say
believe
they're not
whatever
looking
they
for
say,
a relationship, it means they're not. Yes.
Precisely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like that
idea.
You've
actually got to listen and believe it. Sorry, say that again.
Definitely. Sorry, Francis,
there's
just a little
bit
of a delay on that line there. I think particularly women, we like to think that we can change that person. But great idea about speaking on the phone to somebody, because I've done some internet dating. I thought I've perhaps got on well with somebody until I've spoken to them on the phone, and then I've realised, no, perhaps this person isn't for me. And I think by actually saying, look, what are you looking for, and finding out what they want, you can also save yourself a lot of heartache in the end. Would you agree, Francis?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is the whole purpose of this, you see, because if you're not on that same page, just on that particular issue, right, if you're not on the same page with that, you might as well give up, because it's just never, ever going to work. You're not on the same page together. So, and another question I like people to ask after that is, and you've got to do it softly, it's not like you're, interrogating, but then you go, oh, okay, great, and so especially if they say, oh, yes, I'm looking for a committed relationship, and you go, okay, so why would you be looking for one? Why is that important for you? And then you stop again and allow them to fill the space, because asking that why question bypasses somebody who is just saying it to please you. and also you go deeper into their deeper values about why a relationship is important for them, and especially if it's a committed relationship.
Yeah, I love that, actually. I think the first question I've probably done, but I love that second question, because you can really tune into somebody's values, like you said, but also, you find out a little bit more rather than the person who would just say yes anyway to your question.
Yes.
So just going on from there, perhaps you've met this person on a first date, and, I'd like to know, because I know there's something I struggle with. What happens if you had a really good date with somebody? How do you sort of respectively and effectively finish up that date? I mean, do you jump into bed with somebody? Do you leave them your phone number, your email, your, 25 numbers where they can get hold of you? What's the best way to finish up on a first date?
Look, that is an incredibly difficult subject, actually, because everyone's different. I ask so many people about what they want, and they seem to have different answers. However, I tend to think that normally you've got some sort of connection already. Usually you've got an email or a phone beforehand. So let's just assume that for the first bit, that you do have an email or a phone number for this person already. I just think it can be quite good to say, hey, look, I've really enjoyed, catching up or meeting you today. Is it okay if I just, if we email each other about how we feel, about how the date went? Is that okay with you? And you might even say, and I'd actually really like that. I'd like you to email me back or text me or something. And just say how you felt. And by the way, I'm a big girl. It's completely cool. If you don't feel you want to go further, I'm completely happy to hear that. And in fact, I'd rather hear it than you not contact me at all. So I just think that's quite important to end it and really ask for what you want around that.
Yes, again, my first thought when you said that was, oh my goodness, you know, would they think I'm some sort of loony if I asked them to sort of email me with how you feel? But at the end of the day, like you said, if they like you, they'll do that. If they don't, then they're not worth it anyway, and they're not the right person for you. So, you know, that's great. I really like that idea. And you find that obviously something that's successful?
Well, the thing is, if you don't do it, see, basically no one knows what the rules of dating are anymore, right? We are all flying in the dark. So I don't necessarily blame men. I don't necessarily blame women. Like, we're all, you know, in the dark. So I just think that I've just noticed that this sort of thing works. It can feel confronting to people, for sure. But if you don't ask for what you want, the guy is then left there going, I don't quite know what to do here. Let's say he wasn't that attracted to you. He thinks, oh, God, I don't want any hassle here. If I email or text her and go, oh, no, you know, just didn't quite work, I'm going to get a big problem. She's going to get upset. Oh, God, so I'm just not going to do anything. Yeah. And then the girl is just left there waiting for, you know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever, you know, 3 weeks. She's still, because see, if you do not close the loop, I call it the communication loop, yeah? Having a date is like opening the loop, yeah? If you don't close it by saying, how did we go? Do we want to go further or do we want to finish it here? Yeah. If you don't close it, like metaphysically, it's like you connected on an energetic level, but you need to disconnect. But you haven't made the disconnection because you still don't know what the other person is thinking or feeling. So the energetic connection stays until it sort of just gets broken in a sort of bedraggled, depressed sort of way.
Really interesting.
Do you see what I mean?
So, you know, I never really thought it about that. I was always, I'll be honest here, I was always a big believer in, okay, let's just wait for the guy to do the running. But sometimes then you can be left in a state of limbo, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen. And I do see a lot of my own coaching clients, you know, get very disappointed, very upset. And I'm not going to mention any names, but some have been seen to stalk the person afterwards, you know, chasing them, finding them on Facebook. Mm. But like you said, you know, if you do that, you've still got that energetic tie with that person. And if you actually close it up straight away, all right, you might feel a little bit, you know, I don't know, upset for a couple of days, but that's done then, isn't it? It's over, it's closed.
Mm.
That is brilliant, but I never really thought about that. That is so fabulous.
Yeah, and that's why we as women need to give the impression to the guy that we're not going to fall over and collapse and be all upset if he rejects us. We've got to be able to take that rejection and just go, well, you know, it's not, and this is a distinction, it's not me he rejected, it's us that he rejected. He didn't want to create a win together. Yeah? And it's a fine distinction, but very important.
Oh, very important, because, you know, I know personally, again, from my coaching, rejection can be such a scary thing. And like you said, it's really easy to take it personally and go, it's me, what have I done? You know, how come he didn't like me? But if you actually reframe that and say, well, no, it was the relationship that just wasn't right. Just like buying a pair of shoes, they just didn't fit. You know, there's nothing wrong with the shoes in the first place. But that's, you know, a great little piece of advice. Because would you agree, Frances, as women sometimes we can get ourselves all wound up and stressed waiting for perhaps the person to call us?
Well, I think we do. But, you know, I just think that's a completely and utterly human thing. Yeah, I think men equally get stressed with that if they want the woman, yeah. I don't think it's a particularly female thing. I think it's particularly female only because, you know, we still live in a society where, you know, men like to initiate these things a bit more and women think it's, you know, probably appropriate for us to do the waiting, you know, in those times. And so, you know, we're left waiting with the cycle uncompleted. And I know for myself that I coach my clients to actually to complete it themselves anyhow. Like if they don't, whether they like or don't like the guy, I actually suggest to them that they don't just wait. Like they, so they ask for him to do it, but they also do it themselves. Like, I don't know, in a couple of, in a, whatever time frame they like, but usually, you know, up to a couple of days afterwards. To just go, hey, really enjoyed, you know, meeting up with you, but I just didn't quite feel there was enough chemistry to go further. So thanks so much, and I wish you all the best, you know. Or, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, meeting up with you and would love to catch up again. What do you think? And why should we say that?
Like it. Very empowering as well. Would you agree? Mm. Very empowering to do that.
Yeah, well, it puts us back in as the actor, as in the doer, rather than just the receiver and the, you know, waiting for life to happen, you know.
No, I think that's great. Now, what happens if you have a date that isn't so much fun? So perhaps you've gone away on a date and it's the end of the date and perhaps one partner is obviously more keen than the other, asked to catch up, and you don't want to. Now, what's a good way to actually sort of say that out? As a person who has been, you know, had been that person in a date where somebody said to me, I'll call you, and you never hear from them again. So, you know, what is the best way to actually say no at the beginning there? And again, because you're finishing the relationship as well, aren't you? You're saying, you know, you're cutting the ties. There's no more to it. So what's a good way to actually get that across to somebody that you just, you know, they're okay, but you just don't want to carry on?
Yeah. Look, once again, it's up to you to sort of get some sort of sense of the other person a bit, but then, you know, whether they can take a really direct no or not. I have to say that my preference is to, if they say, hey, do you want to catch up again, is to just go, hey, look, do you mind, I'd rather, I just find it's just nicer, although that's sort of like a no, isn't it? I think it can be, but I was just thinking, that would be a no. But I think it can be nice to just go, hey, look, I've enjoyed our date, but I like to go and sort of have a bit of a ponder sometimes. So do you mind? I will absolutely promise to get back to you. I'd like to email you or text you, but I just like to have a ponder for a day or two, and I'll absolutely get back to you. And is that okay with you?
Love that as well. And a ponder. That's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, if anybody tries to sell me something on the phone or offers me something, I always say, hey, I need to think about this. I need to go away and for a couple of days and then I'll get back to you. I've never actually thought about doing that in the relationship. I really like that, Frances. That's ace.
Because it is... when I was dating with this, I tried that a couple of times, being a bit full on, you know, because I'm a bit of a direct talker, and I remember saying, oh, look, I've right there on the date, you know, I've really enjoyed, but, you know, I don't think I'd like to go any further. And then there's this terrible, embarrassed thing about, okay, what do we do now? It's pretty horrifying. And I asked a few guys as well, and I said, look, what do you prefer? And not a single one actually said, I want to hear it on the date.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because guys have feelings too. You know, we are all the same at the end of the day. Mm. You know, that's a good thing to keep in mind, actually, that, you know, if they don't want to hear it, then, you know, maybe just leave it till, just close it off a little bit softer a few days later or something. I like that. I'm learning some heaps of advice here. This is absolutely awesome, Frances. This is like, you know, I know regular listeners of mine will know that I headed off around Australia on a documentary in order to find love in January, which didn't turn out, nothing to do with the guys. They were actually really lovely, but didn't turn out due to sort of several other reasons. So, you know, relationships have been a little bit of a sort of issue for me over the past few years. So it's really interesting to hear all of this stuff and a fresh new perspective. So, you know, give us some advice here, Francis. You speak about the requirements and why they're so essential in choosing a partner. So what's the requirements?
Well, requirements are like the absolute core important thing to understand when we're choosing a partner. And it's amazing. I find it quite hard to explain sometimes because we're just not trained to think this way, okay? But, I mean, simplistically, it's like doing your list. You know, this is what I'd like in a partner. So you just write everything down. And I really do believe in a list. I just do. And
I've got a list.
You think, okay, you got a list? Very good. And then you divide the
list
into one, two, twos, and threes. Yep, very good.
Yes.
So number one are your requirements, which are your absolute essential must-haves or must-not-haves. Yeah? So you only, let's say, I'll be simplistic, you don't want somebody who smokes, let's say. Right, and you've really thought it through, and you've thought, even if that person ticked every single one of my boxes, you know, like all the things that I really would love and it would be fantastic in a relationship, but they smoke, can I still be with them without wanting to nag them and change them? Yeah? And if you can't answer no, like 100%, and just go, no, it will not annoy me, it's going to be completely fine, they can do whatever they like with their smoking. If you can't answer that, right, it means it's going to be a constant issue for you in that relationship, and you're going to be wanting to try to change them. Okay? So you might, it's a funny one, actually, smoking, because like a lot of people also want to give up. So that can be a sort of an interesting one. But the essence of requirements is you only have to have one of those in place, and it means you probably can't be with that person because it's going to be non-negotiable for you.
And that's such a good idea because it makes you, before you enter into the relationship, it's your deal breakers, isn't it? And it also, I think, helps you make sure that you're not settling, that you're not going to be with somebody. Mm. And like you said, you know, 10 minutes down the line, try to change them into something you originally wanted them to be in the first place. So would you say that the requirements and what other things should be on the list, or is it purely things that you are real deal breakers?
Well, basically they are deal breakers. Yeah, that's what requirements are. So it's like you know that within yourself that you're not negotiable. Yeah. Now, a lot of the time we're taught to like through media and all this sort of stuff, don't be so fussy. You're being too fussy. Yeah. You need to be more flexible. Okay. Now, I think that's true in certain situations, but not in others. Yeah. Like, I'll give you an example. I was working with one of my clients the other day, and she said, I'm never going to be with a man who is in debt and who believes in going into debt. And I went, oh, okay, that's interesting. So I said, do you own a house? And she said, no. And I say, so you're never going to own a house? And she went, oh, well, no, I do want to buy a house. I said, so how are you going to do that? And as we began talking, because I'm really pushing her there, I'm pushing her, and she's going, okay, so it's not, it's foolish debt, you know, like gambling or, and I also need to have some, you know, understanding about where he's at with money and that we really communicate well about all that sort of stuff. And I said, okay, so that's what you really want. You want open and clear communication about finances. Yeah? And do you understand what I mean there?
Yeah, because there is a difference.
Which is very different.
Absolutely, there is a difference there. So, you know, it's I get that one. I actually was with a partner for a few years who was continually in debt due to his own sort of addictions and wasn't financially open about it. And I can see definitely where she's coming from there. But it isn't about the debt. It's more about being able to discuss it and openly, you know, be open about it as well. So, you know, definitely I can see finances being definitely one on my deal breaker list, I think, on the my requirements list.
Absolutely. That's right. But notice how interesting it is. And that's why I believe most of us actually do need a coach or a good friend who we can run this by, because we can put our list of requirements there. And this girl was very full on about this. He must not be in debt, yeah? And it wasn't until she had a little bit of coaching around it that she realised what the real requirement or deal breaker was. And that was really, really very useful for her.
Yeah, because you have to be careful what you ask for at the end of the day. I remember actually one of the things I added onto my list. I wrote a list and actually shared it with my coach at the time. And one of the things that I'd forgotten to put in it was actually emotionally available and single, which really is a ball breaker for me, because it doesn't matter if they are the most amazing person in the world. They really do have to be available, because as somebody, again, who's had a habit of unavailable men, that now becomes one of my deal breakers for sure. So it's interesting. It's necessarily, you know, it's not always the little things or the how tall they are that, and, you know, those sort of things, or what job they do that needs to be your deal breakers. I think sometimes it can be more of the really more important stuff that's really going to impact your relationship. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's where people can get confused, because you know, yeah, they'll think something like, you know, how tall he is, or you know, what colour hair he's got, or even what sort of car he drives or something. For some reason, we think these things are important. But they've got, you know, very, very little to do with the actual day-to-day, you know, running of a relationship. So, it's, yeah, the most important things that where people connect on is their values. But, yeah, the bit you mentioned just there is that person actually ready and available, emotionally available and capable of being in a relationship? Very important one that I think everyone has to pop there on their list.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Definitely top of my list. Now, Frances, I've got a sort of question for you here, and I've been dying to ask this one, because I think this is a question that if you asked 100 different people, you'd probably get 100 different answers. So let me just ask, you know, how long or when is it okay to finally get naked and have sex with a new partner? You know, what's your point of view on this? What would you say?
Ah, oh dear, this is a difficult question. And, of course, everybody's different. But, look, you know, the older and hopefully wiser I'm getting, and the longer I work with people, I'm beginning to realise more and more that it is best to not get into bed and have sex too early, yeah? Because all the science shows us that as soon as we start having sex, we start basically, you know, all the hormones start kicking in, our brain starts shorting out, our capacity to make rational decisions and remember what was actually on our list, you know, gets less and less. So, so I actually believe that if we can, there's some way to be able to just settle, you know, we can do touching, you know, kissing, a bit of cuddling, you know, so you're getting those sorts of needs met, and to see if you've got that sort of chemistry, yeah. But to really up front just say, you know what, I actually, you know, I'm not doing some weird religious thing here. I'm just, I just don't want to have sex until we get to know each other and make sure that we're heading in the right direction, you know, the same direction, and that we, you know, we really do want the same things, because, you know, my brain shorts out and I just want to, you know, make sure that I'm doing the right thing for both you and me. And, so I just think that, so there's no definitive time, you know, people say, oh, after the third date or the sixth date or whatever funny rule is out there. I think it's more when you start to get that sense in you that you feel a sense of sort of deeper connection, safety, you know, emotional safety, your capacity to communicate together is good. You both want sort of similar things. You've had some good conversations about it, not just chitty chat, have fun, but you've got to have a mixture of some fun, but a few serious conversations, and you go, okay, well, maybe let's explore this. But certainly not in the first date. I don't believe that's a good idea.
I must admit, I've been accused of being old-fashioned before, but I really agree with that, Frances. And I think something I've learned over time as well is actually, you know, I don't want to get all my kit off and naked in front of somebody that I don't even know. And also, I feel it's actually a mark of respect for myself that, you know, that I don't feel comfortable in, God knows I love sex, you know, I'm a Scorpio, but, you know, I don't feel comfortable on a first date having sex because, I don't know, I do feel crap in the morning. It doesn't, you know, maybe it might be different if it was Robbie Williams or, you know, some sort of, then probably I wouldn't care. It'd be one night and it would be over and done with. But I do see a lot of people these days and, you know, yeah, I may be coming across as a prude, but I know a lot of people that go out every weekend just for a shag, you know, and I have to be honest, I think, and I'll be interested in your point of view here, I believe a lot of it is to do with their own self-esteem. Now, what do you think about that, Frances?
Look, yes, I think it is self-esteem, and it's also, I think people just get caught up in cultural norms, you know, because I think that I see plenty of women and men out there, you know, having sex like that, just having a shag with two or three different people every weekend or whatever. And look, sometimes they might even have reasonable self-esteem, but it's just sort of the cultural norm, and so they just get caught up in it. However, I think low self-esteem is definitely an issue. And once again, I'm going to go back to the sort of slightly more sort of metaphysical thing is that once again, when you have sex with someone, you're connecting energetically. And this is like a tantra way of thinking as well. Yeah. You're connecting energetically and then you're not really cutting those strings, but you sort of are, and it wasn't done really consciously, and you've done interesting things with your hormones by having sex with this person. And there's actually there's a bit of research out these days that says when a woman receives a man's semen, although I hope you're not receiving a man's semen when you're shagging like that. I do hope you're using condoms. but even if you're, like, truly,
true.
but if you're receiving a man's semen, you know, a female body actually has to adjust to that. It's like it's a different energy coming into your body that your body has to adjust to and recognize, is this an enemy or is this, you know, part of me? Can I allow this in? Yeah. But energetically, I think there's something quite harmful about just, and this is not a moral thing I'm saying here. It's an energetic thing where you're making connections, disconnecting them, making them disconnecting. It's almost like it's creating psychic wounding, I believe. Yeah. And it's like when you decide you actually really want to be in a relationship, you've been so used to shutting down your feelings, will you be capable of opening them up again when the time is right and there's somebody there who really wants to be with you?
Wow. Gosh, that's quite scary, actually. That is, just thinking about that. Is there anything, you know, is there anything, say, for example, somebody does go out and has, you know, a bit too much to drink and a quick shag on a Saturday night, is it important in the morning, obviously, to cut those cords? Is there anything we can do metaphysically to make sure, you know, I suppose, and emotionally, to make sure that we're actually doing something, you know, metaphysically to cut those ties?
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, there's different people who teach different things, and I think, yeah, having a little bit of a, like a post-mortem, not a good choice of words, but yeah, a post-mortem on.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. It was like, okay, so how am I,
excuse me,
how am I feeling? Yeah, that's right. Am I feeling half dead? but like, how am I feeling? You know, did that really serve my highest good? Right, and my highest good includes my physical body. You know, my needs for sex. You know, did it suit my physical body? Did it suit my emotional body? Did it suit my, you know, etheric or spiritual body? Yeah, like, what did this serve me? This behavior that I did last night, you know, did it really serve to the greatest good of me and even the other person? Yeah, did it really? You know, and just to have a little think about that and go, you know, so you can decide for the future whether you want to either keep adding to yourself or whether you want to keep detracting from yourself. And that's that question. But then, yeah, you can do a bit of a ceremony where you, in your mind's eye, get a sense of you and that person, and that there are probably some energetic cords connecting you, and to just very gently and lovingly, you know, thank them for that experience. Yeah, just thank them, whatever it was, whether it was positive or negative. Thank you for being in my movie, and cutting those cords and just, you know, letting them be free and letting yourself be free. And that can be quite a powerful little thing to do after something like that.
Yeah, I do agree. I know I've actually done that several times with ex-partners, particularly from myself. I've just visualised us standing opposite each other and then perhaps calling on the angels or something around me to actually cut those cords. And it's amazing how much better you feel afterwards. Because there was all sorts of gunge and not just bodily fluids being connecting, you know, myself and my ex-partner together. So, you know, that's really interesting. Now, Frances, I interviewed a lady yesterday, Diane Schwartz, who is an expert on domestic abuse and also sort of on emotional abuse in relationships. And quite scarily, I was reading some of the statistics that 1 in 4 Australians now find themselves in some sort of abusive relationship. And I just, you know, it'd be really nice to hear from you, you know, what your feel on that is, or have you got sort of any insights why that statistic, and if that's only the ones that are actually reported, you know, why that seems to be such a epidemic these days?
Well, first off, I wouldn't assume that it's any more of an epidemic than it ever has been. That's the thing with statistics. You know, it's like with rape statistics, you know, like, well, when did rape start? Well, you know, from the time we started on the planet, probably, you know, but we didn't start statistics till, you know, 30 years ago, you see. So, like, we can't really say it's worse than it ever was. So that's the first thing, yeah. We don't know that, but we have got some idea about how bad it seems to be now. So that's the thing, and so therefore I can't really say if it's worse. So you know, why is it happening? You know, that's a $1 million question. I think it's very much tied in with the fact that we are still living under a patriarchal system that doesn't respect women, and it's all about power. Having power over women, but not just power over women, it's a power system. I could rave on a lot about that, but because the patriarchy is also about men having power over each other, power over the planet, power over animals, children. It's a power system, but especially women have suffered in the hands of that. And I think really that we're still going along with that. And because out of that, a woman is taught not to respect her own body, her own thoughts, her own feelings, and therefore it becomes easier for her to be bamboozled by somebody who wants to play power games. And it actually doesn't matter whether they're male or female. If you've been trained from birth to not really trust yourself and what you think and feel, well, then you're ripe for somebody like that to, you know, have a negative effect upon you.
Oh, I agree. It's almost like, if you don't trust yourself or have those skills perhaps at the beginning, you become prey, don't you, for these people who, you know, unfortunately can be predators as such. Would you agree?
Yes, yeah. And one of the questions that I ask myself and teach my clients to ask is to go, does this person care for me? And it's such a simple question. It's like, do they care for me? Do they have my back? You know, are we in a team together, right? Or am I constantly having to explain myself, give them excuses because of their behaviour towards me, whatever it is. But essentially, do you care for me? Now, it's not like you ask them that, because that's a pretty pointless question to ask somebody, yeah? But you want to know by their behaviour towards you that they initiate caring towards you.
God, and so simple, but so true. You know, I think back to some of the people I've coached in some of my own relationships where, you know, I did struggle being in my own abusive relationship for a while. And now I can look back and say, no, they didn't care. But the trouble is you can't see the wood for the trees. You're so busy focusing on their behavior that you forget what is the fundamental part of a relationship. You know, they care or they don't care. If they don't care, well, what's the point? There's no point trying to get them to care or anything like that. So, you know, that's a great question, and perhaps one we should all ask ourselves in our relationships as well, just to get an idea about whether they're healthy or not.
Well, actually, and it's not just with, intimate relationships, but also friendships, you know, and dare I say it, even families. You know, but let's just go in friendships. It's like, well, you know, do you actually care for me? Like that's an interesting question. And it is so simple, but it's like, wow, I actually need to feel that you actually care for me. And which it seems so pathetic, doesn't it, to even have to ask that. But it's so important, because when you get the answer, you go, well, that's cool. If I don't get that you're actually, you know, behaving in a caring manner to me, well, I'll move on, because there's plenty of people out there who will care for me.
Love that. That's so effective. You know, rather than us sort of spending our time trying to make them care or working out what they do care, whether they do care, or putting ourselves out and doing everything we can to please them, why not just ask them? You know, simple. If they say no, get yourself out of there. there's no point in sort of perhaps hanging around with somebody who doesn't care.
And I know there's far more... Yeah, look, I know on one level there's far more complications than that, but that is actually just a core question to ask yourself, yeah.
No, that's great. Now, Frances, I've loved talking to you today. I could talk for hours, and I'd love to have you back on the show in the future, because it's so your work, it's actually inspired me today, and I'm going to, you know, just think about some of those things that you said. It's sort of given me, and I hope our listeners, a bit of a new perspective there as well, just by some of those great techniques that you mentioned. So how can people get hold of you? What's the best way for them to get hold of you? Have you got a website or Facebook? So how can our listeners reach you?
Well, my website is lovecoaching.com, so www.lovecoaching.com. So you can contact me through there. There's a sort of a contact form. Or you can just contact me through Facebook. So my name's Frances Amaroux, so AmarOux. And I'm on Facebook a lot for some reason. I love being on Facebook, connecting with people all around the world. So please feel free to contact me there, or through my website.
Fabulous. Frances, any last parting words for our listeners?
Oh, look, simplistically, how does one give a simple thing to that?
I don't know, just something.
Yes, well, I think to be gentle on ourselves and realise that there's a whole new world of relationships that we're all co-creating right now for the first time ever on the planet. We are beginning to create egalitarian relationships and to be gentle on ourselves, right, both men and women, because we're all learning in this together.
How very true. How what a different world it would be if we all had just a little bit more compassion with ourselves and other people. So, Frances, thank you. I hope you've enjoyed being on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you join me and our listeners today. And I hope that you'll come back soon on the show. So thank you so much.
Thanks. I'd love to. I'll see you another time, I'm sure. I'd love to. See you then, Lisa.
Great. Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
What a great, interesting show there from Frances. And I'd love to have her on the show again, particularly to talk about some of these issues that nobody really knows the answer to or were too scared to ask. So that's all from me today. Thank you very much for tuning into the show. As ever, you can contact me at www.amazingcoaching.com.au. My Facebook page is Amazing Coaching. And next week on the show, we have the fabulous Patricia Evans, who is a former Oprah guest, who's written lots of books on both, actually on verbal abuse. She's an amazing lady. I'm really excited to have her on the show next week. As ever, please look after yourself. Lots of love. And I look forward to hearing you next week. Take care. Bye.
Wow, you've been listening to Spiritual and Irritable with Lisa Phillips. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more laughter, more breakthroughs, and the fabulous life you truly deserve. Get ready to burst your excuses, take action, and get moving now. Join Spiritual and Irritable each week for a fun, honest, and inspirational life coaching show. For more information or to receive a copy of Lisa's ebook, Amazing Coaching DIY, Do It Yourself, visit amazingcoaching.com.au. That's amazingcoaching.com.au. See you next week.
Oh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe? Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where is it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Do you feel like you need proven leadership because your life is losing its desired direction? Do you need affordable private coaching that will work for you and your schedule? If you've ever felt stuck in an uncomfortable life situation, here's the answer. Based on years of experience in life coaching, Lisa Phillips has written the Amazing Coaching DIY Do-It-Yourself Manual. If you haven't heard of Lisa Phillips yet, you should. She's a certified neuro-linguistic programmer, and she regularly contributes to top self-improvement magazines around the world. Many people know what they would like to change in their lives, but don't have the knowledge or the resources on how to do something about it. This book reveals everything you need to know, from achieving exciting goals to identifying and releasing toxic emotions. With Lisa's ebook, everyone can easily take action to feel good right away. Get your copy now at amazingcoaching.com.au. That's amazingcoaching.com.au.
Yeah. You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think that Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we've just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey everyone, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word.
Absolutely. Spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.